You are listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am the co-host. And Jessica Coffey, our wonderful director, is here. What's going on, Jessica?
Oh, I thought you were going to just pump me up a little bit more.
No, I was done. I was done. And then I was like, I don't know what her title is anymore. So I'm done. I'm just done.
That's fine. It's been good. It's hot.
It is warm out here, ain't it?
It's hot. It's been a while since we've been on this podcast.
It has. I think it's your fault, but go ahead.
It's all right. It hasn't been this hot.
No, it hasn't. But unfortunately, doing this podcast with you, I have so many freaking memories that when the hot weather comes, I remember in one of our shows, you was like, you said summer was your month and you gonna sit in the air conditioner all summer long.
So all summer long.
I ain't really complaining. I'm not going to complain about this heat because that's what I wanted. I didn't want that ice and snow.
Well, it is summer outside and in my office, is Antarctica.
It's
negative 10 degrees in the office.
Wow.
But I'm not complaining because my side of the office, our area, it's freezing. And in our executive director's area, it is Aruba.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, you're the executive director, right. But they don't respect you.
They can't fix this.
Right. So I'm not
complaining. I bet that goes over well.
I am usually bundled up in, I have a blanket, a heater that I'm probably not supposed to have, and I usually wear a jacket.
Confession is good for the soul.
These are my confessions.
Well, you know, that's unfortunate, but it is summertime, and we are enjoying
summertime.
Have you listened to it yet? Because last time we was on. Okay, yeah, you said
you know what?
Summer doesn't
we
begin.
We actually played that in the gym today.
Wow.
Yeah.
In the gym.
I've been working out.
I'm so proud of you. How long has it been now?
What?
Never mind.
I've been consistent for 6 months.
That's why I was
seven
saying.
7 months, yes.
You've been consistent. How long has it been consistent?
Yes. 7 months.
Wow.
And I've dropped.
Come on. Give
30
it to
pounds.
It. Look at you, mama. Look at you. That's
but,
good news.
But I needed to because when I would bend over and tie my shoe.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
My stomach hurt. And I said, what's happening? Then I couldn't fit in any clothes. And I'm like, am I washing it and drying and they're shrinking? No, they were not shrinking.
Goodness. Right, right.
And then I sit here on the podcast with you and you didn't tell me how
different
I looked.
Here we go. There are video footage and this is a shameless plug. All of our shows are also posted on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Go through and look and listen and re-enjoy. How about that?
Yes.
About that.
You know what? And I'm glad that it's not winter because that makes me work out like more. You know, in the wintertime, I'm a whole bear.
Yeah.
I hibernate.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I go fetch food every day, but I'm in the house not doing nothing.
Right, right. Well, speak of not doing nothing, we're coming up on a holiday. What are you going to do for the 4th of July?
I'm going to stay in my pajamas and eat Frosty Flakes.
Bruh.
Frosty.
Go! That's
not
right.
No Captain Crunch. Frosty Flakes.
What? If you're going to spend a holiday staying in the house to eat frosted flakes, that was the cereal my grandmother allowed us to eat after, you know, many years of just kicks. Rice Krispie treat. I mean, rice. No, not Rice
Krispies.
Rice Krispies.
No sugar. No
right,
sugar.
No. And corn flakes.
No sugar.
When we got a little older, she splurged a little bit, and we got frosted flakes. That's an old people's.
It's
cereal.
So good though.
It's all right.
It's
and
good
none
me.
Of them no, taste like but, they used to.
But it's like, you know, because I don't like soggy cereal, so I'm eating
Come
it fast.
That's
and
it. Yeah, me too.
It's that crunch, it's that sugar. And then about time you get to the end, you have sugar milk. It's so good, Cam.
There are so many more better options like Captain Crunch with berries.
I do like Captain Crunch.
There's Cocoa Pebbles.
It gets soggy too. I do not like any chocolate cereal.
Oh, the chocolate milk. I do not like Cinnamon
Toast
bowl.
Crunch.
No. Blasphemy. Blasphemy.
No, I don't like that.
Oh, why? Because it gets soggy too quick?
Yeah.
You're eating it too slow.
And something about, I just don't know why, but cinnamon and sugar in cereal and milk, it just doesn't sit right with me.
Come on.
Just have a cinnamon roll.
Okay, what kind of hot cereal do you like?
Brown sugar cream of wheat. That's an old person's
cream of wheat.
Cream of wheat, baby.
Most of our audience doesn't know what cream of wheat. I know, though, it's... And look.
With some butter toast.
See.
And maybe 2 pieces
look
of bacon.
At you. Look. Now you get ready to change your whole menu now. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
I might eat some cream of wheat.
But it's summertime, babe. Don't do the cream of wheat. That go down hot. that's like taking
I'm
a
going
shot.
To be in my cold house.
Okay.
Listen, it's so cold in my house I could eat chili.
Wow. And see, but you don't keep your air low, right?
Who?
What's your thermostat set to?
69.
Wow.
I keep it on 69.
Even when you gone, what's wrong with you, girl, wasting all that
even
money?
When I'm gone?
Yeah.
You know what? I never change it. So you the bill is the same. It's not.
Ugh. Yeah, it's high.
No, your it's bill not. Is- no, my bill is not high. Mm. It's not. Well. I do automatic payments, so I actually don't know what it is, but
your bill high.
I have not been concerned.
Yeah, your bill high. Yeah, we're 72 during the day.
72 and then, is so hot.
Well, I mean.
And
I
then once you turn it down to at night.
67.
Oh, my goodness,
yes,
Cam.
Yes.
But you know what? I was told when I first purchased my house, don't change it because when you change it, that's when your bill fluctuates. So I
change at night because it's not competing against the heat.
Yeah.
It agrees with me and it stays that way and it doesn't come on very often. Yeah.
I guess.
This is all very interesting. However,
you had an anniversary.
I did. 28 Woo-hoo. Years. Oh, now I got rid of my horse.
Oh, yeah. You don't even, the claps.
Okay.
28 years.
Yeah. 28. That's a great milestone. Many thought we wasn't going to make it.
Never would have
made it.
We made it. So what can you say from the difference between year one and year 28?
A lot. Marriage is work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all fun and
did
games.
Did you not think that at year one?
No. I mean, at year one, you're just in love and everything's just, oh, the world is going to be our oyster and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And then life says smack, 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 smack. And then you have to find ways to deal with issues mm-hmm. as a couple. And it's, you know, it can be challenging, but 28 years.
Got you.
28 years.
So how did you celebrate year one, if you could remember, as opposed to how did you celebrate 28?
Well, year one, that was, well... I'm not real sure. I can't even remember what we did for year one. But this last one, it's not so much of what we do as how we do things mm-hmm. together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've grown closer. We don't require, you know, there's a lot of times that you're trying to impress and improve, and, you mm-hmm. know, and it's not that we don't still do that because we still go out on date night. But like our anniversary is just our day. It's not like, you know, like Valentine's Day is your day, mm-hmm. right?
Well,
anniversary is our day. And, you know, we reflect a lot and we're grateful. So we just went to the Derby Dinner Playhouse. And if you haven't been, you need to go.
Do you eat and watch a play?
Yes, you do.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. The room is set up like a square and it's tiered.
Uh-huh.
And the stage is in the middle. There's no bad seats. It's a buffet.
$50. Oh, that's good.
That's good. That's dinner.
Well, what was the play?
Oh, it was really good. It was half-baked and it was a really good comedy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times you're... waiter is also an actor singing.
Really?
Yeah.
So like, do they serve and sing at the same time?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. All right. We have talked and talked.
We have.
I think it's time for a coffee break.
Alrighty, so for today's coffee break, I just want to remind folks that a negative mind will never give you a positive life. I try to do like daily affirmations.
Yes, you do.
Because what a lot of people don't realize is we can be our own worst critic.
Yes, we are.
And we can speak negativity in our life and, you know, have negative thoughts without us really thinking that we have negative thoughts.
Right.
But if you practice daily affirmations or saying just positive things about yourself, mm-hmm. about your surroundings, what you love about your job on mm-hmm. a daily basis, practice that, then you would be in a more positive aura.
Yeah, I love that. That's good. I wake up and I'm thankful to God that I have seen another day, and I'm thankful, you know, because a lot of people didn't make it. You know, there's a lot of things to be positive about mm-hmm. as you start your day, because as the day goes on, you'll find those things. But start it off right.
You
know what I'm saying? Let's start off on a positive note, so that we can tackle these things as they come.
And you know what? Positivity like rubs off on people.
It does. It does. It does, because you can change, even if you're in a bad mood and you run up against somebody who's in a good mood, it kind of changes you and it puts you in a little check.
Yeah.
That's a good word. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Nice coffee break. Now, what are we talking about today?
Today... we have another anniversary guy.
What?
Today's his anniversary.
What?
Sorry, I got to put that out there for the listeners.
Before we even announce, come on.
We have Eamon Fitzgerald, also known as the Birth to Five guy.
The Birth to Five guy. Now, look, I got to tell myself real quick. What's going on, Eamon?
Not much. I'm happy to be here, guys.
I am so glad you are here, but I was reading, like, the notes, and it said The Birth to Five guys. And I said, what? You birthed five guys?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, reading Hooked on Fondness.
But Eamon works with Fayette County Public Schools. Yep. Also does, I don't want to mess up your title, child.
So official title is the Family and Community Early Childhood District Liaison, which
okay.
is not a great acronym, but
wow,
that's
pretty
lot.
Long.
But essentially, Birth to Five guy.
Yes,
is that works.
Birth to Five. Sorry, no, I didn't birth five guys, which is one of Cam's favorites.
Yes.
So, Cam, today we're going to be talking about family engagement in early childhood,
absolutely,
and anything else that Eamon wants to
talk
about because it's his anniversary.
That's right. It's your and I need that. I wish I had that on.
Oh, we should play that.
Yeah.
I'll sing it after.
Please don't.
So, what do you have questions?
No,
you look like you wanted to start off.
No, go right ahead.
Okay. So, Eamon, what we want to ask first is, why are the first 5 years of life so important?
Sure. And that's a great question, and we get that a lot. So there's several reasons. First, the research shows that the first 5 years of life, that the brain is 90% developed within the first 5 years mm-hmm. of life. That's meaning, you know, the library's built. Now it's our job to then fill it with information right. and skills and those kind of things. But, you know, if we can, you know, if we can help aid the building of that library, make it bigger, you know, mm-hmm. and more space for learning, more space for, you know, it makes things so much easier as they get older.
Right.
We talk a lot about, you know, the importance of early childhood in kind of K through 12.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it in terms of like a tree, you know, when a child is born, it's kind of a seed planted in the ground. Early childhood is those roots.
Mm-hmm.
And some the more we water and nurture those roots, kind of the deeper and the farther they go.
Right.
And so when that tree starts to grow, you know, it grows and grows and grows, branches out as they start to mm-hmm. learn. Things happen, like bad weather, for example. So if you have a tree with very shallow roots,
yeah,
and bad weather comes through. We had this, mm-hmm. you know, we've had this every couple months here, mm-hmm. is that tree falls down.
Yeah.
Tree breaks in half, rips in half. And so we think about if we invest early in early childhood, the deeper the roots, the harder it is when that bad weather comes, when that trauma comes for that tree to kind of fall over or break. It's kind of like building a tower. We talk about, you know, when you build a tower, a lot of kids just like to build a tower kind of straight up, as tall a tower as you can build. And then it falls over. And then what we want to do is we want to first teach them that you need to have a wide, stable base. And that's early childhood. So you have that wide, stable base. It's a lot easier to build a really, really tall tower that's not going to bend and sway as much. So, you know, it's one of those things that, like, it sets you up for lifelong learning and all those kind of things.
Good deal.
Well, we're going to continue talking with Eamon after we come back from this break. You are listening to Look Who's Talking.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly, so to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Listening to Look Who's Talking. We are talking with Eamon Fitzgerald, and we are talking about early education and the importance of those first 5 years.
I love the analogy with the tree and the roots, because, you know, in thinking, like, when whether it's first-time parents or parents who have, you know, more kids, those first 5 years are so important, and sometimes we don't think about how important their development is in that time. You know, we say, oh, you know, we'll get ready for that when it's time for them to go to school. But those first 5 years, as you said, are so important.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's one of those things that, especially, you know, young parents, like, they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving them that information early on, either before pregnancy or very early on in the birth of that child, just really sets that child up for success later on. And the families as well. You know, really gives them kind of that nice starting point on, you know, these are the things we should do and these are the things we should look for to help them kind of get going.
I think there's been a whole evolution with early childhood education from, you know, when I can think that I was young, because my parents, bless them. Bless them.
Here you go.
They did the best they could.
I'm going to send it to them.
They did the best they could with what they knew how to do.
Exactly.
But we are so focused more in providing resources and education to parents now. I had a great grand imagination. But my parents, my sister did not. She did what they said. And, you know, you have two different personalities. And, you know, they approached us the same way. And I'm like, what's this for? You know? So what advice do you have for parents when it comes to young children and, you know, teaching them at home?
Sure. And, you know, we focus a lot on families just because, you know, they are the child's primary educator, especially that first 5 years of life. but also, you know, they see them the most.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that whatever we're doing is also correlating to what we're doing either, you know, in the classroom or out in the community and those kind of things. But the biggest advice that we give people, because there's lots of different, you know, there's podcasts out there, there's videos out there. If you want, you know, if you want to be a helicopter parent, there's a book.
Right.
If you want to be a free range parent, there's a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to be, you know, a tiger parent, there's a whole series of YouTube videos on those kind of things. But what we tell families is, you know, you got to be engaged with their child first.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is to show them. You know, if you want your child to learn to really love and appreciate books, you have to show them what a book can do. You mm-hmm. know, what the power behind a book, that it can transport you from the living room to an island where the wild things are.
Right.
That it can, you know, it can teach you all of these things that you didn't know. You know, it can show you pictures of, you know, a different country that they may or may not ever get to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that goes, so, you know, we tell families, you know, just show them the importance of books, show them that you read also.
Right.
Now it could be anything. It could be Sports Illustrated. It could be, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica. It could be just a book, but show them that you read also.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell them to show them, you know, in terms of everything. You want your child to be kind.
Yeah.
You need to show them kindness, and you need mm-hmm. to be able to let them see you show other people kindness
mm-hmm.
as well. And not just, you know, not just a school, not just a church,
mm-hmm.
But out and about, you know, because that's what the things that the kids notice.
Yeah.
They notice how you treat people and what you say to people. And that's what they're going to take away
mm-hmm.
The most from kind of it's almost like the opposite of do what I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's never been the case.
Right.
Especially for young children. You know, they right. learn by seeing real world kind of tangible things. And that's a lot of times that's the families, and then that, you know, trickles down to us.
And mm-hmm. I think families need to take back ownership of that, because we're so used to, you know, it's your all's job to educate my child. What? I'm the first one that's educating my child. I'm the one that's instilling morals and boundaries and things of that nature that I want my child to know. So in totally grasping that first teacher aspect, we've put it off on teachers. We've put it off on the church to teach our kids these things when we've already taught them that it's not important because we're not teaching it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's so important to
yeah. And that partnership, you know, that you're talking about, you know, we really focus in on a lot of places are very good at parent involvement.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But there's a big difference between parent involvement and parent yes. engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of parent involvement is doing to, and parent engagement is doing with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can have those activities, we can have the family nights, we can do all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but did we ask the families what they wanted?
Yeah.
You know, who are we asking to come to these things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's missing from these events when we have the events? Are really big for us. One of the things we learned is, you know, it's easy for us to translate something into Spanish,
mm-hmm.
not a problem, you know, or any other language you might have. So we'll do the posters, we'll do the flyers in Spanish also. But when the families that speak Spanish come there, do we have somebody mm-hmm. that can show them around?
Right. Don't!
Because if not, they're just standing around.
Right.
You know, they came to this event, you know, and it was a big deal for them to come to this event. And then all of a sudden, there is nobody that can engage with them.
Right, right.
You know, so for us, it's all about, you know, and it takes a lot of work. A lot of us are really good at family involvement,
mm-hmm.
But it takes constant work to be that family engagement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's at the table, who's not at the table, why aren't they at the table?
Right.
We want to make sure they get there to kind of do that partnership that Cam was talking about.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. One thing that my mind shifted when I started working at Community Action about when children learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a child, a one-year-old child, I don't even know if the child was one, just got a diaper change. They took the child to the sink and the child automatically started rubbing their hands.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That child already knows, like, I'm supposed to wash my hands mm-hmm. and this is how I do it. That blew my mind to right. where I'm like, I wish we could have more parents come and observe the classrooms
exactly.
because the kids, when they're with us, are very independent. We teach them how to be independent. But then you see them around their parents and they're trying to feed them or don't do that. You can't. But they pour their milk here, but not at home. Right. And, you know, the classroom extends from the four walls of school, you know? Right. So if we could get parents to see some of those and being engaged and involved in things like that or seeing some of that.
Yeah, and exactly. It's kind of, you know, we always go back to that, you know, they don't know, families don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And, you know, and there's always that kind of, and I know you guys get it here, is that like families are like, well, I didn't know she could do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know she could do that. And it's not that they don't want them to do it. Maybe they never thought about the opportunity to let them do that.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, kids are hands-on learners. You know, you get all fancy and call it kinesthetic learning. but, you know, it's all about that hands-on learning. And I tell families a lot of times, it's like there was an episode of that show Big Bang Theory where there's these four uber intelligent guys riding in a car together. And all of a sudden the car starts clunking. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it breaks down on the side of the road. And these four, like one of them's an astronaut. I mean, one of them's a doctor and a physicist. Mm-hmm. And they go, does anybody know anything about internal combustion engines? And they're like, yes, we do. And then somebody goes, has anybody ever touched an internal combustion engine? They're like, no, because they've read about it, but they physically got to touch it.
Exactly.
And that's the same with kids. We can tell them all the stuff that they want. But when they get to do it hands-on and learn and mess up.
Yes.
I mean, I like to say that in early childhood, we're champion mistake makers because we learn from those mistakes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Most adults given a brand new skill are not going to get it right the first time.
That's right.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. They're going to spill some milk when they're pouring, but eventually they'll get it. Now, I'll be honest, even as an adult, I'll spill some milk sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And that's okay because what we learn from that is, well, now we clean it up and try again.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that spill milk thing, you know, because a lot of parents don't want to have to clean up, but you still got to clean up after you get done. Go ahead and let them, you know, and it's so funny.
And that's learning.
Nico's throwing away stuff in the trash and they're like, oh my God, he knows what was like. Yeah, because he's doing it every day when he gets his diaper changed. He's changing, throwing his paper towel away. So, it's just funny.
I love it. This makes me want to go to the classroom and be like, let's learn something today.
So do you have any children?
I do.
What you mentioned some type of parenting. What kind of parent are you?
That's a good question. you know, so I've my kids are 13 and 7 now.
Uh-huh.
And when my wife found out she was pregnant with our first child, you know, everybody was just like, oh, you guys are going to be. You'd be great parents with, you know, your background in early childhood and her background and, you know, counseling psychology, you know, and she's way smarter than I am. you know, they were like, you guys are gonna be great parents. And I said, maybe, you know, because everything that I've learned, it kind of starts when they start childcare, which in the state of Kentucky, that's 6 weeks.
Yeah. Mm.
Nobody told me about day one through day 5 weeks and 6 days and an hour, many hours. So, I mean, it's a learning curve for everybody. It's a shock. And, you know, it is just like the classroom where, you know, you learn as much as you can with the first child. And you're like, okay, I got this. Second child comes along, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with the classroom. Some years you get everything done. You're like, all right, we're firing on all cylinders. I'm going to do the exact same thing next year.
Yeah.
Next year rolls around, you do it, and it just falls apart. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening right. You know, all the laminating, all the saving you did, all the themes. Kids don't like the themes that you did this year.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn as much as you can. And so we tell teachers, you know, it's important to have as many tools in your bag, in your tool bag as possible. Mm-hmm. So.
It sounds like you read up about the combustible engine, but
yeah, I still can't fix one, but yeah, I know all about it, man.
that's how it is. It's just getting in there and we have to give ourselves grace to say, you know, we're going to make some mistakes. Preferably we won't make the same mistakes that we went through, but we are going to make mistakes and we're going to learn from those and our children are going to excel. So
yeah,
it's just embracing it.
So what I want, if we could give parents some resources to some, maybe some apps that are good for early childhood.
Sure. So we get this question a lot. Mm-hmm. Probably at least once a week. Mm-hmm. We get folks from all walks of life, from new families, seasoned families that have had kids, to kind of the higher academics. They're like, "What's the best computer program or app out there to teach young kids to learn?" Mm-hmm. And it's not the most popular answer, but what we tell them is the best app that we have out there is a lap. And that is a child with a book in their lap. The child may be in your lap as well, because they're not just kind of reading that book. They're also kind of connecting with an adult there. You know, there's the social emotional piece. There's that physical piece. There's that mental piece that's there while they're learning. And, you know, studies show that, you know, kind of birth to five, you know, screens and apps aren't the greatest for kids. That's a whole nother episode we could do. And I understand that nowadays, you know, you can't get away from them.
Right.
But if you have the opportunity, the best app we have out there is a lap. And that's reading with a child, engaging, asking questions, and even reliving some of those books and stories that they had as a child that the child may not have heard. Mm-hmm. For example, we've been talking to a lot of younger families. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they don't know a lot about and would like to are nursery rhymes. Because those kind of got phased out. We were raised on them, right? I mean, everything from the cadence of words to hand clapping to syllables.
Yeah.
That is something they didn't get, but they would love to do again.
Right.
You know, and again, there's not a lot of brand new ideas in early childhood. Mm-hmm. We just got to, you know, look back and see what worked and kind of refresh what's there.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, that is awesome. I just appreciate the work that you do, and
you guys, man.
I can't wait to get to your five guys. And
listen, if one of us ever wins the lottery, Cam and I, there'll be signs. Like there'll be a new five guys popping up in town. There'll be signs for sure.
Is there anything that our listeners can look out for? Whether Fayette County has any engagement events or anything for early childhood that you would want our listeners to either come and support?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, one of the things that I've been very lucky to be a part of is this First Five Lex initiative that's through Fayette County Schools, but it's a community collaborative group. I mean, everybody that's on this group has a vested interest in early childhood. And, you know, it's one of those things that we either all get credit or nobody gets credit.
Right.
We either succeed altogether or fail altogether. Mm-hmm. You know, and so one of the things that we like to do is we've learned that, you know, sharing resources, each other's resources, is just as beneficial as only sharing ours, more beneficial than just sharing ours. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, helping somebody else's light shine does not diminish your light at all.
Right.
And
right.
So what we found is that, you know, hey, I'm going to tell everybody about Community Actions event. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell everybody about, you know, Fayette County's events. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell everybody about the library's events and vice versa.
Right.
And we found that partnership just helps families grow even more. There's that wraparound engagement and learning. And all those kind of things. So, I mean, hitting up the First Five Lex Facebook page or website to connect you to other resources around town are great.
What is that website?
So, firstfivelex.com or find us on Facebook at First Five Lex.
All right. Thank you for being here today. We really had a good time.
Yes.
You have been listening to Look Who's Talking.